Welcome to Daily in the Word.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
Whatever you're facing that's beyond your control, whatever struggle and trial you're bearing up under, God is interested and He is waiting to give you His power and His presence. Power for life. That's the topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapin. Stay with us. Let's face it, life can flat be overwhelming. We all wake up and face circumstances beyond our control and situations beyond our capacity. We turn somewhere for answers, and yet so often we know we're in over our heads. Yet there is a God, a loving Heavenly Father, who longs to give you His power and His presence to make a difference in your life today. He wants to enable you to have the strength you need to live your life for Him today. That's the topic of our series, Power for Life, coming up next with Dr. Paul Chapin. Welcome to this edition of Daily in the Word, the daily radio broadcast of Dr. Paul Chapin, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. You can catch this program every Monday through Friday at this time on this station. If you miss a day or if you live in an area where this program is not broadcast, we encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a way to download today's broadcast as well as other recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast via iTunes and take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod at your convenience. Perhaps you'd like to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. I do hope you, when you visit the website, you'll consider making an investment into this ministry. You'll find a donate tab when you get to dailyintheword.org. Your gift to this ministry will help us continue teaching and preaching the Word of God. One of the great powers of the Holy Spirit of God is the power to save. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12 is our text. Here's Paul Chapin.
His substitutionary atonement was for the world's sin that day, bearing it in His own body. That's why I like the song we sang a moment ago, the song, And Can It Be? And think of these words written by Charles Wesley. He left His Father's throne above, so free, so infinite His grace. Emptied Himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? What love that Jesus Christ would offer for us. So there's power in His position. He is eternal God. There is power in His payment. He shed His blood as eternal God for our sin. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And then notice thirdly with me this morning, there is power in His promises. I want you to see the power that we find in the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 gives one of the great ones. And notice that in your notes. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now here's the promise of God to save those who believe, may I say, exclusively on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this era of pluralism, in this era where religious and political leaders lift up all religions and speak of the fact that all of them are wonderful and all of them, if really followed, will take us to heaven. Let's just be honest about the fact this morning that there is not a commonality when it comes to the teaching of salvation and eternal life, and that we do have some choices to make. And that every one of us must come to the place where we consider Christ and where we make a decision. And the Bible says that if we believe in our hearts that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. In other words, the Bible says that he has power to save through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I think about the promises that come with this salvation, I want you to see three promises that God says are ours as his children. First of all, he promises us a new birth. He says to those who believe, there is a new birth for you and for me. John chapter 3 and verse 1, and I love this portion. Notice what it says. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, let's say it together, except a man be born again. And then in verse 7, he said it again, Marvel not that I said unto ye, ye must be born again. Now, obviously, Nicodemus had experienced a physical birth, but Jesus spoke of the spiritual birth. He had experienced the birth of the water of the womb, but now he must experience the birth that comes about by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And Nicodemus, mind you, was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He knew the law of the Old Testament. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, that 71-member body of ruling religious leaders in Jewish life. He was not a kindergartner when it comes to Bible knowledge. He was a religious man, a man who knew much, much more, perhaps, than the average Baptist today about Old Testament teachings in particular. And yet, to this religious man, Jesus didn't say, just keep on the path you're on as long as you really mean it. All roads will one day lead to heaven, and so hang in there, Nicodemus. Jesus looked Nicodemus in the eye and said to him, you, Nicodemus, must be born again, or you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Evangelist Billy Graham once said, and I think this is an amazing thought, that 80% of all of those who had made professions of faith in his various campaigns had their name on the membership roll of some religious organization. 80% of the people that you've seen, as you've perhaps watched on television, the Crusades and people coming to make a profession of faith in Christ, 80% of them, he said, were already on a church roll somewhere. What do we learn from that? Friends, we learn very clearly, religion does not save, church membership does not save, but Jesus Christ alone saves. And we must come to the place of that new birth where we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember our text this morning, John 1:12. But as many as received him, as many as received Christ, not communion, not membership, not some charter membership or organizational membership, but as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Notice verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God says, I'm going to give to you a new birth. You must be born again. Now the fact is that when someone receives Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God touches their heart. They've heard the message of the Word of God, and they make that decision to receive Christ as their Savior. The Bible speaks of that as a new birth. They are born again. And there's something awesome about a new birth. Back on the last Thursday of October, our oldest daughter, Danielle, gave us our very first grandson. There he is, Brother Camden, right there. His name is Camden, right? And boy, I remember when that little guy was born, I was so nervous. And Danielle called and said, we're going to the hospital. It was like we were having a baby ourselves. We just got so nervous and raced over to the hospital. And they were having the H1N1 virus at that time. And so only two people could go in. And there was already someone there trying to help. So we had to kick that person out, of course, get them out of there. Grandma and grandpa are coming. And then we had to put on gloves and masks and robes and all kinds of stuff. And went in. inside. And I'm telling you what, when we saw Danielle and they brought Camden in there a few minutes later and we held him for the first time, boy, tears came down our faces and we prayed and asked God to bless him. And we prayed that someday he'd be saved at an early age. And I can still remember the room. I can still remember the nurses. I remember all about the taking of the footprints of little Camden, all the things they were doing. It was a miracle to see this little fella as he had been born on that day. It's a wonderful, it's his birthday. And how many of you think it might be special next October on that first birthday, right? Oh yeah, we're looking forward to it. I've already told him several times, I'm going to take you to Disneyland on your second birthday without your parents, just me and him and grandma. We're planning all kinds of stuff. He by the way, is very spiritual. He loves the Word of God. In fact, every time he sees it, he tries to eat it. I'm telling you what, he's just got an appetite for the Word of God. But I'm simply saying that his birthday is a day that we'll celebrate year after year. Now, friends, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a spiritual birthday. You may not remember it, you know, October 22nd, 2009. You may not remember the exact day. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. I believe someone that's truly a Christian, they don't just by osmosis have it, or they didn't just get birthed into a family that had it. Grandpa's a preacher or a Baptist. No, no. It's a personal thing. It's a decision that we make. And when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, they're born again into the family of God. What a great, great decision that is. What a great privilege to be the recipient of God's wonderful love. But notice we not only will receive a new birth, but we secondly receive a new family. God says, when you're saved, I'm going to adopt you into my family. I'm going to place you into my family. Now, sometimes here on this earth, we have trouble getting into certain family relationships. I think about my son-in-law, Peter. Boy, I tell you, I watched him like a hawk when he was dating Danielle. And then when they got married, I decided I'd like him. Then they had Camden. I thought he was all right. You know what I mean? It's just kind of progression like that, kind of on trial. How many of you are glad it's not that way with God? We're just instantly accepted into the family of God. He loves us. I heard about a police officer in a small town, and he pulled over a guy that was speeding down Main Street, and the fellow tried to talk. Officer, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you something. I can explain. The officer snapped at him, quiet. And he took that fella and he said, you're going to spend the night in jail till the chief gets back. But officer, I need to tell you. And the officer threw him in the back, took him to jail. And man, I'll tell you what, he was rough. And the fellow was sitting there behind bars. A little later on, the police officer came by. He said, lucky for you, the chief's at his daughter's wedding. He'll be in a good mood when he gets back. The fellow said, don't count on it. I'm the groom. Now, sometimes it's hard to get families going or get accepted into someone's family. But you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're instantly born into the family of God. 1 John 3:1 says it this way, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We shall be called the sons of God. As a child of God, a son or daughter of God, when you're born again, you're placed into the family of God. God says, I want to give you a new birth. I want to give you a new family. And then finally, he says, I want to give you a new home. We don't have time to study all about it, but let me tell you, this is a great study. This new home that he offers, it's a gated community. Gates of pearl, I'm telling you what, streets of gold. And that's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. In John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, now I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a place that's being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, I give you my promise that when you put your faith in my Son, that you will be in that place for all of eternity. Now, many, many times I talk to religious people, I mean people with memberships of churches, who do not know that they have this place one day. They've never received these promises. They've never scripturally come to this understanding. But I want you to look at what the Bible says, because this is not Baptist, you know, hopefulness. This is biblical teaching. And I want you to see in 1 John 5 and verse 11 how the Scripture defines this. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is once again in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So friend, you can cling to false religion, but if you do not cling to the Son of God, you do not have everlasting life. And verse 13 then sums it up with this phrase, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name, there it is again, the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word say? That ye may hope, wish, what does it say? That ye may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so God says, I want you to know some promises that you can claim. You can claim a new birth, a new family, and a new home. These are your gifts by my grace to you because of what my Son did on the cross of Calvary. Now let's mark this down once again to make sure we understand. Because someone may be sitting here this morning going, all right, I'm listening. What's the catch? You're telling me that if I, as a sinner, put my trust in Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary, that God will forgive me and give me a new birth, a new family, and a new home. What's the catch? Surely there's a certain amount you've got to give every week. Surely you've got to keep certain sacraments or find yourself doing certain things. There's something I've got to do, because there's something about our human nature that says, you know, I've got to do something to earn this. But my friend, the Bible teaches that salvation is not something we earn. It is something that God, in his eternal grace and mercy, has prepared and has offered. And friend, it is not something I earn. It is something that I receive and that you can receive today. Look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 as we close this morning. For by, what does it say?
Grace
are you saved. Grace is undeserved favor. If Carrie Schmidt and I were downtown, or maybe let's just say we're over at In-N-Out Burger over on Avenue I. Not that we have been there ever. Not that you ever have taken me there. But if we ever were to be there having a hamburger together, maybe a double-double animal style, just something like that. But if we were there at In-N-Out having some hamburger and french fries and we saw a man, let's just say maybe carjack somebody and then the car broke down and the police caught him and we went to court. And maybe he had injured the driver and so forth. And so we were there, and the judge asked. We say, yeah, we saw it. And they say, all right, for this crime, we're going to give him, let's just say, 20 years. And so they gave him 20 years. Now, wait a minute. If the governor of California called Corcoran Prison and said, I want to pardon that guy, Carrie Schmidt and I would say, you know what? That is undeserved favor. We saw him carjack those people. That is undeserved favor. And if the governor let him off, I'm telling you right now, that would be gracious if the governor did that. And the fact of the matter is that from God's perspective, because we are all born into an Adamic sin line, all of us who deserve separation from God for all of eternity in a place called hell, God says, by my grace, I have offered to you forgiveness. I have offered to you a home in heaven. I have offered to you my justification. For by grace are you saved. And then notice it's through faith. It's through faith. It's not through our works, the Bible says. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Watch this. It is the gift of God. God says, I have a gift for you. It's paid for. It's wrapped up. I paid for it with my blood. But now you need to receive that gift by faith in order to be saved. It's not by your works of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves us. A few years ago, I was going down to El Salvador to preach and help some of our missionaries get some works established there. And the police chief, he heard that we were coming. He said, look, he said, we've got, you know, a lot of crime and a lot of gang members with the MS-13 gang. And he was telling us these things. He said, I want to put some security personnel with you, and they'll take you around the country as you preach, and they'll help you. And it was a nice gesture, and we had opportunity to witness to these men and so forth. And then we would go around and we preached in different meetings and different community halls and in gymnasiums and so forth. And as we preached the word of God, these men listened. And then we came to the final night as we had the service there in the northern part of the country where we preached once again the gospel of Christ. I preached on the woman at the well. And that police chief that had met us at the airport and introduced us to these men who were going to help us, he was in the back of the room. And I saw him as he was listening to the message. And I was told he would come by and just check on our security and see how things were going. But I saw him that evening listening there in the back. And after the service, he came up to me and he inquired about the message. And he had a different background religiously. He had never heard about grace. He thought it was kind of up to him and up to his church to get him to heaven, and up to others to pray for him to get to heaven. And that evening, on the last night in El Salvador, as I had the opportunity to sit down through an interpreter and speak to this man, the man who had authority over all the police officers in the capital city, he said, "I'm not sure that if I died, I would go to heaven." He said, "Every day of my life, I'm around people who would love it if I did die." He said, "But if I did, I'm not sure that I would spend eternity in heaven." And I opened up the Word of God. I shared with him what I have shared with you in these last several moments. And he prayed in that office and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's attending church today. He's growing in his faith. His marriage is doing well. And God's at work in his life. And I simply share that with you to say that it's not because he was such a good man, but it's because God has so much grace and mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. Only Jesus has power to save. Don't buy into this concept that whatever you believe in, a rock, a tree, another faith, whatever you believe in is just as good. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, shed his blood in order that we might have everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me." Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we just want to thank you this morning that you have shown us in your word that you have power to save. We recognize there's power in many realms in this world today. But when it comes to that critical matter of forgiveness and eternity, Lord, help us not to be foolish to look to other powers and authorities. Help us to realize who you are and what you did. And I pray this morning and throughout this day that there would be men and women and boys and girls who would awaken by the power of your Spirit to the consciousness and understanding of their need for thee, and that they would respond in faith.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Pastor Chappell is presently teaching a very encouraging and equipping series entitled Power for Life. You can receive this entire series on an MP3 CD, or you can download it when you visit our website at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. When you get to the website, you'll find a lot of resources that will help you in your walk with Christ and your spiritual growth. You'll find a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to listen to recent broadcasts or to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find links to other resources, books, Sunday school curriculum, and other resources for local church ministry through our publications ministry, Striving Together Publications. There's a lot more to see at the website when you visit dailyintheword.org. I do hope that you'll prayerfully consider clicking on the Donate tab. When you click on that Donate tab, you'll have the opportunity to invest with us and to partner with us in the communication of the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ on more than 400 radio stations at home and around the world where people are hearing and responding to the Gospel of Christ. Your investment, even on the monthly basis, will go directly into airtime, and I hope you'll consider becoming a partner with us in the ministry of Daily in the Word. This month, we have a gift for you when you give us a gift of any amount. And you, when you decide to partner with us, we want to say thank you. Our way of saying thank you this month is Dr. Chappell's brand new book, 200-page paperback book on the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. The book is entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. If you're enjoying the content of this series, Power for Life, you will thoroughly enjoy Living Beyond Your Capacity. Whether you've been a Christian only a week or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, this book is really about how the Christian life is meant to be lived. Living Beyond Your Capacity, it's a great read. You're going to want to give it to a friend or someone that you love, and we'll send it to you this month when you decide to give a gift of any amount to the ministry of Daily in the Word. One of the easiest ways to do that is to visit dailyintheword.org. If you prefer, you could give us a call toll-free. The number, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. When you call that number, we look forward to speaking with you, meeting your needs, and partnering with you in the ministry of the gospel and getting you Pastor Chappell's book, Living Beyond Your Capacity. If you'd like to write to us, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. As we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
We're excited about the Alaska cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011, will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Once again, give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. And don't forget, we are heading to Alaska in August of 2011. We would love for you to be a part of this life-changing and memorable adventure to Alaska with Christian friends. Join us for the Alaska cruise and find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.